and not the curse part two. This is a very important message, I'm telling you. I think I mentioned last week, and I wanted to just say a little bit more. I had mentioned how I had read Deuteronomy 28 and noticed that some of the things that was talking about in the curse, I recognized in my life. Well, I wanted to mention that. It was because the way I was believing. It wasn't because God was mad at me or God, you know, these different crazy things that we can believe that God's after us. It was because it was 100% based upon because of what I believed, that I somehow had to perform, that I somehow had to prove that you know, that I belonged to God, that I had to prove that I was growing in Him, doing things. So what it really became is I was doing things in my own strength. I was using the law and the commandments to say where I was at. And boy, it didn't work out. Wasn't going anywhere. And so when I realized, reading Deuteronomy 28, if you get a chance this week, would you read Deuteronomy 28. It's powerful. And so when I started realizing that I saw some of those aspects of the curse operating in my life, it was a light bulb go on moment in my life that I realized at that time. Then that means if I'm seeing some of the curse operating in my life, why can't the blessing? And I'm here to tell you right now that the blessing of God is for His children. I'm telling you right now, the blessing of God is for His children. And as we read through, we're going to go through some Galatians as the Lord just, I pray He'll just reveal some things, open some our eyes, all of us, to walk in His blessing. I remember too that when I used to hear anything about prosperity or whatever, I would tune it out. Now mind you, I didn't mind working 80 hours a week or 100 hours a week. I'm being honest, at that time of my life, to be blessed. But for some reason, the way I was raised, and some reason, the gospel that I understood and believed, that message, I thought that's a fault. I was told it was a false gospel. And I understand there's things that are out there that we hear, that I hear. I don't have a television where I hear some of, you know, hear some of these preachers. I understand there's things that come forth that are false, that are not true. When I start hearing things that you'll be blessed when you give to my ministry. When I start hearing snake oil salesman kind of stuff that we've always, the church has always had. But that doesn't mean we just throw it all away. We look at the Word. Lord, what do you mean by blessing? I was listening to a little bit of a message from, anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday? But like at the beginning of the 20th century, this guy was a professional baseball player. Who played like with Ty Cobb, if that's how far back it was, like Ty Cobb. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And God had delivered him from alcoholism and different things that were going on in his life. And man, he became a powerful preacher. He was a very animated guy. So back then it was like, whoa, you know. He was one of those guys who was the first like popular evangelist. But I heard a little excerpt, because he was only filmed a couple times because of the era. And he was talking about the blessing of Abraham back in like, you know, early 1900. So God's message of blessing His people has always, and he was saying things about, you know, if King David or Abraham or some of these people around today, what would their, he was talking about, what would their net worth be? And I understand not everybody's going to be a billionaire or a millionaire. That's not my point. But his point was, is if we're children of Abraham, and we'll look at these scriptures, why can't we be blessed? Why can't we walk in that blessing? Amen? So if you're hearing me right now, there's something going like this, I just ask that you would let that guard down and say, Lord, teach me. I want to be teachable. Because the truth of the matter is, God designed us to walk in blessing. I was reading Genesis chapter, in the first few chapters of Genesis, when He created the animals, and it said, and God blessed them. I mean, God spoke and He blessed them. It said, after He made man, God said, and He blessed man. He spoke out of His mouth and blessed them. Part of what blessing means to speak forth. and over our lives by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God in us, God desires to speak forth blessing in our lives. God wants to provide for us. God wants us healed. God wants us whole. He wants our minds whole in Jesus' name. I say God wants our minds whole in Jesus' name. God doesn't want us walking in anxiety, I said, in Jesus' name. Part of the blessing, part of His blessing in our lives, which includes finances. I'm just going to say that right now. I'm going to say that right now. Amen? So we're going to look at these, start looking into Galatians, which is a powerful book. I think for the last few years, my favorite book to dive into is the book of Galatians. And it's a book where we talked about last week where Paul starts out in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. You remember we read this last week. Paul is talking to the Galatian church. He says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. We talked about, and then we will talk about what were they believing. I want to go to Romans 4, verses 1 through 5 in the Good News Translation. Talking about Abraham again, right? Abraham, Father Abraham. Did you know you're a relative of Abraham if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That makes us all related. We're all kinfolk. Through Abraham, in Romans 4, verse 1 says, what shall we say then of Abraham? This is Paul. The father of our race. What was his experience? If he was put right with God by the things he did, he would have something to boast about, but not in God's sight. But not in God's sight. Verse 3. The scripture says, Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous. Before the law, we talked about, before any of the law, he believed God, and God said, Abraham, you are righteous. Amen. Verse 4. A person who works is paid wages. So Paul continues on the thought, saying that Abraham was justified by his faith. And so verse 4, he continues on, a person who works is paid wages. Isn't that correct? But they are not regarded as a gift. They are something that has been earned. But those who, verse 5, but those who depend on faith, let me say that again, but those who depend on faith, not on deeds, and who believe in the God who declares the guilty to be innocent, it is this faith that God makes takes into account in order to put them right with Himself. Amen? That's amazing. It is this account. And so he starts out saying, if you work, you get wages. You're owed something. But not before God. He doesn't owe us anything. We can't work before God to be paid righteousness. The Word of God says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We start off by the basis when we're born, amen, that we are in need of a Savior. Every human being, when he is born, is in need of a Savior. Doesn't matter how good of a boy or girl that person is as they grow up, right? Whether they're rebellious or not according to the world's standards, every individual grows up needing a Savior, amen. I think about God's first interaction. So we're talking about Abraham. I want to read his first interaction, or God's first interaction with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you, verse 2, it says, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then in verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. All the families of the earth is you and I, by the way. Regardless of your race, your background, your ethnicity, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're one race under Abraham. Amen? We thank you for that, Father, this morning. So his first interaction with Abraham was what? Blessing. 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 Let me tell you this morning, regardless of what you're going through, God's desire when He speaks to you and I, because we're His children, is about blessing. Let me think of, when you think about that, think about if you have children or people that are dear to you. Don't you want them to be blessed? Think about that. Don't you want them to be blessed? Don't you want it to be well with them? Well, God put that in us because He's the one that created families. God wants it well with you. God wants things to go well with you. God wants blessing in your life. God wants His strength, His peace, His joy, your confidence in Him. He wants that in your life, man. The thing is we've talked about Satan, what his plan is, because he's the father of all lies, is if this going on in your life must mean that you've done something wrong, or this experience must mean that you can't trust God. So maybe on the very inside, we love the Lord, but our experiences or past things we've taught, or the way that we were raised, will say, no, that blessing, really, life's got to be hard. I'm sorry, life has to be overwhelming. That's just the way it is. But I'm telling you now, that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in His peace. He wants us to walk in His joy. He wants us to walk in His strength. He wants us to walk in His provision. He wants us to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants for us. As I've learned is, life is, things come our way. The enemy throws things our way. My thing that I'm learning is, God, even during this time, I am going to trust You. I don't care what's going on in my mind. I don't care about the inside, those insecurities that I have, that I still struggle with. How about you, if you're honest? God, I'm going to choose to believe in Your blessing. I'm going to choose to believe in Your healing. I'm going to choose to believe in Your strength in my life, regardless of what's going on, in Jesus' name. That'll be the hardest thing you ever come up against in your life, when the enemy presses against you, that the blessing's not there. I'm telling you, when we have things like that and we come through them and we don't give up, I believe there's more blessing coming your way, more purpose coming your way, more of what God has for you is revealed. Those things will bring maturity in our lives because we learn to trust Him. We don't give up or give in. And if you did give up or give it in, get back up and keep going. Dust yourself off and keep going. The just man falleth seven times, but what? That's just a number, because I'd have to go 70 times 70 times 70. How about you? If it's just the number 7, oh goodness, we're in trouble. If it's just 7 times 7, we're in trouble. If it's 7 times 70, we're in trouble. The whole thing is regardless of what's going on, regardless of what we're facing, we get up looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our blessing, and He's the finisher of our blessing in our lives, in Jesus' name. We thank You for that, Lord. Thank You, Father. So His first interaction, Abraham's first interaction, was this. He said, son, follow Me. Today, He says that to us. His mercies are new every morning. The way to start walking in His blessing is saying, Lord, I trust You. I follow You. Jesus, I believe You're the way, the truth, and the life. That's the first step to blessing. Believing that He is God. He's the only way to salvation. I say He's the only way to salvation. He's the only way to have your sins forgiven. The first step to walking in blessing is, I simply believe in You. Let me tell you what the last step is. Lord Jesus, I simply believe in You. I say the last step is, Lord, I simply believe in You. It'll never change. We go from faith to faith, but it still remains faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The word of faith. We speak, therefore we believe, therefore we speak. Are you speaking blessing over your life as I preach to myself this morning? Are you speaking blessing over your life? I have to do it the same as you do. learning to speak blessing, learning to declare blessing, learning to agree with the Word of God. There is power in declaration, by the way. There is power in declaration, blessing. What it is to say, Lord, I agree by what I say of the blessing that you've spoken over my life by the Word of God. You think of Jesus when the disciples said, tried to keep the children away from Jesus. He's busy. True, he's got things to do. We've got places to go. But he said, let the children come unto me. What did he do when the little children came unto him? He blessed them. We think of blessing like somebody sneezes. God bless you. Oh, bless your heart. You know, we can't minimize blessing. Think of your life as your hand. When you know that God's hand's on your life and even your struggles, and he knows that, and you know that his blessing is on you, thank you, Lord. That situation that you're in will work out. That struggle that you're dealing with, start declaring, Lord, thank you for working this out in Jesus' name. Father, I trust you that this is going to work out in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you have made my path before me. I can trust you. Lord, I can trust that you will open every door for my life. Lord, I thank you that every door that does open will be opened by you. I've come to realize I've had doors I wish that would open that didn't open. Later on, I'm glad they didn't open. I'm telling you, when you believe in his blessing on your life, it's wonderful to know that he's the one that's opening doors. He's the one that's making a way. His purpose in your life, God-given desires, he will make that path. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes there's struggles, but you're not going to get past them by our worry. We're not going to get past them by trying to do things in our own strength. It's going to be by, Lord, thank you for giving me wisdom in this area. Maybe in all of us in our different circumstances today, saying, Lord, thank you for giving me wisdom. If it says in the book of James, it says, Lord, it says if we ask that you'll give wisdom. And it goes on to say that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. The many gifts he's given us in our lives for our purposes of spreading the gospel, for our purposes of taking care of our family, for those things placed in our lives since the foundation of the earth, gifts and blessings upon our life in Jesus' name. Regardless of what you're going through now, you can remind yourself of what God has brought you through and past and over in the past. Amen. I thank God that we're not like the children of Israel who went through the Red Sea and immediately are complaining. Amen. Complaining about, and then they get manna, and then they're complaining about the manna. Thank you, Lord, because of the spirit of grace that is through Jesus Christ, that we don't walk in complaining, we walk in thankfulness, amen? Saying thank you, Lord, for the blessings in our lives. Hallelujah. I think of maybe even the giants that the Amalekites remembered that the Israelites were going to have to, they needed to face. 10 people came back with a bad report. 2 people came back with a good report saying we can take them. In your life, Lord, let us have the heart of Caleb and Joshua back then saying, Lord, regardless of what we're facing, we can take it. Lord, it's your victory. When we face Amalekites in our lives, giants, things that are beyond our strength or our ability, we have to trust him. Amen? We have to trust him. Whether it be in your job, relationships, different things that seem beyond us, struggles that seem beyond us, things going on in our lives that seem beyond us. That's when we need to declare, like Caleb saying, we can take them. Lord, this thing, you can take it. Lord, you're going to give me victory over this thing. Father God, you're going to lead me past this. Lord, you're going to take me to where you want me in Jesus' name. Aren't you glad for that? Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Abraham's first encounter with the Lord was blessing. You notice he said, hey, just follow me. So So what was Abraham's part? Lord, I'll follow you. I'll trust you. Our thing here today is that, Lord, I'll follow you. I trust you. Amen. You know, when we do that, regardless of what's going on, he's going to get us through it. He's with us. He's strengthening us. He's leading us. He's opening doors. He's making ways. We don't see it yet, but we will. Amen? That's called blessing. Galatians 3:1. Paul again, after Galatians 1:6, he kind of hits him again. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? And that publicly betrayed as crucified, if we get there today, we'll talk about that. In the New Living Translations of Galatians 3:1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. That's so important, because when he preached the gospel to them, the gospel of grace, what was he saying? It is by your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, alone are you saved. Alone are you a joint heir with Christ. Alone are you a child of Abraham. Alone are you blessed through believing this. And so we'll see as he hits them hard. What happened to you? What happened to you, Galatians? Galatians 3:6 through 9 says, what a powerful scripture this is. This is so powerful. Galatians 3:6, just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 7, therefore recognize that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. You know, many at that time, when Paul said this, would have considered that hypocrisy. There was many even in the church of Jerusalem that would have said, I don't know about that. Because of this revelation that Paul had of the grace of Jesus Christ, of Gentiles, you and I being joint heirs with Christ, there was many who would have said, I don't think so. A matter of fact, it was the reason why Paul was persecuted. If you think about this faith, what do you mean that are justified only by faith that these Gentiles are now one with us with Christ? If the whole church, including the Jerusalem church, had believed that, what would have happened to the temple? A whole economy would have crumbled at that time. You think about what was going on with the temple still. They were sacrificing for sins. There was priests. There was this whole economy all around the temple and upon the law of Moses. If people had believed what Paul was preaching at that time, that whole economy would have collapsed. Blessed. Therefore, verse 7, recognize it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Many would have considered that hypocrisy and did at that time. Verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel before, listen to this. I'm going to start over again. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham. Did you hear that? The believer. That scripture being that what it was is God speaking a message of salvation to Abraham. Can you believe that? It would be blessed. So what he's saying right there, he says, as you believe, it says, you are blessed with Abraham. What blessings did Abraham have on his life? God's provision. God protecting him from his enemies. Amen. God leading and guiding him. Amen. Was Abraham perfect? No, in between the first time God spoke with him and the second time we'll read, he goes to Egypt and he says, no, this is my sister, it's not my wife. They take his wife and she's like in the harem. She's gone. What was he thinking during this time? We read these scriptures and what was he thinking? Lord, what's going on with my wife? Why, see her again? He was scared. What? And even in his mistake, the mighty Abraham. No, that's my sister. Please don't kill me. I'm called of God and the father of many nations. Please don't kill me. That's my sister. She joins the harem. How long was that? How long did that take? We read these things and think they happen like that. Was it 2 weeks? Was it a month? How long was his wife gone? Because it says that curse broke out on Egypt. It was long enough that finally the Egyptian king says, "What in the world did you bring upon me? Why didn't you tell me this woman was your wife? We're about destroyed here. I had no idea. You told me she was your sister. Now all these things are breaking out. Nobody in my house and nobody's having children. Everybody's getting sick. It wasn't my fault. Abraham, it was yours. You didn't tell me." So during that time, how long was it? My point being is even in his struggle, even when he's like, "What do I do now?" God took care of him. God took care of him. God restored his wife to him. Amen? Even in his fear, even the mighty man of Abraham. At another time after God spoke to him, he says, Abraham spoke to God. God gave him this promise, a blessing. He says, "Yeah, but I don't have an heir." And God told him right then, and said, an heir is going to come from your own body. And right after that, he goes and has Ishmael. Right after that, even in his the man of faith. Can you imagine God speaking to you, having a vision, a dream, and that child's going to come from your own body? Right after that, having an Ishmael. His wife getting upset, saying, "Hey, take my concubine. Have a child. Maybe that'll be the promise." I thank the Lord that even in our struggles, when we're weak and we are teetering, that he's there with us. I said, brothers and sisters, even when we're teetering and struggling, he's there with us. The blessing's still on our lives. He loves to show himself faithful in our behalf. He loves to show himself strong in our weaknesses. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. How we love you and honor you today, Father God. Your strength that's released in our lives. The blessing, Father God, released in our lives. Father, we receive of the blessing of Abraham as joint heirs, Father God. We receive of that in our lives. Whatever it means for your life, whatever area of life that you need that blessing declared in your life, that I am a joint heir. Don't be ashamed of that. That is a thing that God wants to do in our lives, is bless us. Do you believe that today? Amen. You know, as God blesses you, it humbles you. It isn't when you're walking with the Lord and he blesses you, you don't become arrogant. You know where that came from, and it humbles you. God wants us to speak of his blessing. I was speaking to a brother I love dearly, and I'll do this when I've talked to different people that are blessed, whether it be in business or whatever. And it's like, "Man, God's blessing your business," or whatever. They say, "Yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's about this, this, and this." Well, I know it's about this and this and that and people. But yeah, he blessed you. It's okay to be okay with that. When God blesses you, it is okay to be okay with it. It's okay to boast to other people about what God's done for you. But so many times when that happens, people was like, "Oh, yeah, but that's not what it's about." Well, why? What is it about then? Do you barely want to make it? Or do you want to say, "Lord, thank you that you have blessed me abundantly. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're leading and guiding me. Lord, thank you that you are increasing me for your glory. Hallelujah! Thank you that you're increasing me, Lord." Isn't that what I think? That's what God wants us to say. For some reason, it seems like if we boast in him or admit that God's blessing us in areas that I don't know what it is, if it's a religious thing, Because I just, I'll notice and I'll hear it. Oh, boast in him. He wants us to boast in him. Boast in what he's doing. Boast in what he will do. I said boast in what he will do. God loves that when we do that. He spoke a blessing over the earth when he made it. He spoke a blessing over mankind when he made it. I'm telling you, he spoke a blessing over you when he saved your soul. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? But you got to believe it. Our part is believing it. Lord, thank you for helping us to overcome our unbelief in that area. Lord, thank you that you're faithful to help us in these areas where we're weak, that we will believe in the blessing, to believe in the blessing in Jesus' name, that it won't cost us our families or our lives to be blessed. And I understand working long hours. There's just times where you have to. I love working sometimes long hours. It's okay. But I'm talking about a permanent lifestyle that costs our families. He does not want that. You know why? Because the blessing's on us. The blessing is on us. Father, we thank you that when the blessing in those areas on our lives, people around us perceive it. My gosh, we belong to him. And when people see that, that's when they say, what do you have? You have something that's different. You're not acting quite like other people. The Lord's blessed you and you're not walking in this stinky arrogance. There's something different about you. Or you're in a struggle right now and you're still joyful. What is there about it? You're still in a blessing. God's still there. That's what attracts the world. Amen. Father, we thank you that that attracts those around us, that blessing. The blessing of God attracts people. I'll say it again. The blessing of God attracts people. So even though, yes, God wants other people to see what he's done in our lives, it's still okay to say, thank you, Lord, you blessed me. What did Pastor Lee used to preach? Lift up your cup. And there, that scripture, I don't know the scripture, Pastor Lee. You do, I know. Your cup, say, Lord, give me more. Give me more. Not in an arrogant, haughty, but in a realization it's from you anyway. Lift up your cup, say, Lord, fill it up. What's it say in Psalms 23? It says, my cup overflows. Right? Didn't say he give you 3 ounces. You got half full. Got to be happy with that, son, daughter. It overflows. Father, thank you that our cup in you overflows. And he does it right in front of our enemy. He puts the enemy's nose right in it. Right in front of our enemy. He loves to say to the enemy, say, this person you had down and out, but you don't have down and out anymore. That's my child. My child's blessed. Rub it. He loves it. In the presence of my enemy, anointing my head with oil, the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost, being led and directed by him. So when we face different things, we say, Lord, thank you for wisdom. Father, thank you for, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. Who gives what liberally, gives you more wisdom than you even need. So Father, we thank you for wisdom today in your house, in your people. We thank you for wisdom that leads to blessing, that leads to strength, that leads to those abilities you've given us, that leads to purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. As the worship team begins to come forward, I didn't get to where I was because if I get started there, will be another hour. Do you love him today? You know, I encourage you as this week, as you're getting up in the morning, saying, Lord, thank you for blessing my life. That's not haughty. That's acknowledgement that everything you have comes from him. People that the world wants to look at, people who have gotten everything on their own strength. That's not the people of God, though. We don't work, we don't live, we don't believe as the world believes. Right? Because when those who gather, become rich in this world, aside from God. That's all they have. They have no hope of eternal life. Here's the thing. God blessing our lives, blessing us, then he adds no sorrow to it. There's a scripture that says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. That's a scripture. I didn't make it up. That's not in the Bible of Chad. That's in the Bible. What's that mean? I don't know. But I know that God will provide for us. That God will provide for us in ways that we don't even realize. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I'm open to that. I'm not being arrogant either. I said I'm open to that. I'm open for God to reveal and release in my life anything he would like to for his glory. In humility and humbleness, saying, God, it's come, that's from you. I acknowledge it. Promotions in the job place in Jesus' name coming from the Lord. God taking those who are retired and stretching and even bringing in income that you don't even know where it came from. I was talking to somebody in this church on a very fixed income, and they started telling me story after story of what God has provided them. And actually tithing and giving into the church for the first time in their life. It was amazing. God bringing in finances for their circumstances supernaturally. See, he's the creator of heaven and earth. There was a temple tax that had to be paid. And where did they find that? In the mouth of a fish. Who would have thunk of that? God? God would have thought of that. Can we stand up together? Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for your provision. Next week, we're gonna get into more of what was Paul so upset about. We're going to go into details of what Paul was upset about, that he was saying that you slipped away from grace. You slipped away from the blessing into the curse. We're going to read those scriptures. Father, we thank you that we're blessed in you. Children Abraham, joint heirs. Lord, thank you that we don't walk in cursing. We walk in a blessing. I don't know about you, but I don't care about my background. I don't care how I was raised. I don't care about my family. I walk in blessing in Jesus' name. I don't care the way I was raised or taught. I know the truth now. And it's the truth that sets me free. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this. We thank you for today, Father. We bless. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. We acknowledge, Lord, we thank you for making our path straight, for leading us and guiding us. Lord, we jovially acknowledge that you are a blessing. Lord, we thank you that we're joint heirs with Christ. We thank you that we share in the blessing of Abraham because we are the seed of Abraham. Lord, you said that we've been adopted. Regardless of our background, we've been adopted, Father. So we thank you for that as joint heirs in Christ. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. This week, Lord, as we declare out of our mouth this week, saying, Lord, thank you for your blessing in my life. Thank you for your strength in my life. Thank you for your peace in my life. Thank you for your healing in my life. Thank you for your provision in my life. And so we declare that and thank you, Lord, today. We love you. Just take a second. So, Lord, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for taking simple truths and making them real, and are taking the simplicity of the gospel, simple things, seeds of the word of God planted in our hearts, nurtured and watered by the Holy Spirit, bringing forth life and blessing, bringing forth life and blessings to us and those around us. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen.